Hello, everyone. My name is Luc Jean-Louis, the host of the Deep Voice Man Show. Thanks for joining us today. And it's a great pleasure for me to introduce our next guest, Andrew Caldarella. And his book, The Way, is the perfect solution to all the problems facing our world right now. So I'm so excited to talk with Andrew. But before I bring him out, let me give you a little background on him, because his story is quite amazing. Andrew was born in Detroit, Michigan in 1966 to parents fighting for the civil rights movement. Now, his life is a combination of the Rocky story, Think and Grow Rich, and the Celestine Prophecy on steroids. So he has been through so many harrowing and intense situations that those stories alone could fill volumes. But he has overcome dyslexia, other learning disabilities, being legally blind in one eye, and being bullied to become a school leader, athlete, and attain university degrees in speech and communications, religious studies, and Eastern philosophy. He has lived overseas, traveled the world, is a martial artist, yogi, and what many call a health and fitness fanatic. He is a serial entrepreneur and has run a successful strategic consulting firm for over 20 years. He is the creator of the Seventh Foundation, The One Show, The One Tribe, One Movement, One Party, and the best-selling author of The Way, Seven Revolutionary Steps to Living a Meaningful Life and Making a Real Difference in the World. Now, Andrew is an inspirational speaker, trainer, and coach who specializes in helping everyone be their best in all areas of life while making a more significant positive impact in our world. He is helping some of our world's leading movers and shakers and will influence many more in the years to come. So, ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Andrew Caldarella to our program. And again,
thank you,
welcome
Luke.
To the
thank
Deep
you.
Voice Man Show.
So, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. And I guess you could talk a little bit more about yourself and go in depth and tell us how you first gravitated towards doing what you do today.
That's a long story. You know, you did a good job on my background there. You know, I have come from a bit of a trying time as a kid, and not somebody you would ever pick to write a book or even be a public speaker after going through things I went through. So I've been more of it's more about being on a mission than anything. I'm here because I found things that I kept sharing with people, and they kept telling me, you got to share this with people. You got to put this down. You got to get out there and speak about it. And dyslexia and everything else, it was literally like, you know, doing all this research and writing and deciphering all this code to figure out the solutions that we all need in all the different areas of life. Because what I found is, as you know, if any of these major foundations of your life falls apart, it can seriously ruin you. So you need to really balance out everything to a certain degree if you're really going to be the best person you can be. So after 30 years of research and finding all these golden threads and weaving them together, I finally was able to get the book out, the first ebook, in early 2020. Of course, the pandemic hit. And then I spent the last year just trying to learn how to explain what I wrote to everybody, and started a lot of different social media, different groups. And the book is just a cornerstone of a much bigger solution. That's where the one party, the one movement, the tribe, and everything else comes in, because it's about learning what we need to learn to become our best and then uniting together as good people to make these positive changes in the world that need to happen. And as you know, and just to end up with this thought, this is one of the most trying times in human history. And I know there's people out there hearing this going, yeah, but there's been times like this. People have been saying this before, but not to this degree, not to the level of creating biological weapons can wipe out the human race, or destroying ecosystems like the Amazon or the Congo Basin that can literally destroy humanity. We've never been at this brink of total war to where the weapons used will be so horrific that the human race will never be the same afterwards. So this is really the only time in human history that we as a people can also unite and make these global changes that need to happen. And the last idea is that, you know, human race, we need to be burned to learn. We need to be shaken to awaken. And this has all happened so that it can shake and awaken us to the point where we can unify, become the best people we can be, and truly make these changes in the world that need to happen. Does that all make sense?
Absolutely. It definitely makes sense. And it's interesting. You mentioned 30 years. It took you 30 years to sort of kind of write this book, to gather up all these or have all these experiences and to put all the information you learned in a tome, so to speak. And so, you know, you mentioned a lot of things, obviously. Now, first of all, you've lived a very multifaceted life, right? And yeah. I think that's amazing. And obviously, you know, we can go into, I'm sure there's tons of fun stories you can tell us. But you also mentioned the world today, how the way, you know, the world is obviously at this point, you know, with the technology, we're sort of at this point where we have technology where the world could be destroyed several times over, right? And then we have all types of other technology that can do lots of horrific things. But we also have technology where there's lots of opportunity available. You know, I think there's a mutual connection we have. His name is D. Scott Smith. I actually first saw you and heard you on his show, and that's how I connected with you. And it's interesting that he often says that this is the best time in history to be alive, right? But at the same time, you know, we have these challenges that you just mentioned, right? But I think you're meeting the moment, so to speak, and you're trying to create a movement, right? It's more than just a personal brand. You're trying to create a social movement much bigger than, you know, helping or rewarding yourself, but helping and rewarding society, which I think is amazing.
Absolutely. And, well, let me just say it this way, that it's like the way isn't about me. It's about the way humanity becomes the best people we can be. There are best practices and information that if you put it together in a string becomes a universal truth that can really change lives. So the idea of these movements, we already have them. It's like if you take all the good people in the world, just think about how many civil rights movements and civil groups there are in the world. Think about how many environmental organizations there are spread throughout the world. Think those are just two groups alone. Any big issue, you put all those people together in one group. The problem is that right now everybody's so divided, they're siloed, and we're diluted, and we do not have an organization where we can then all focus and really get something done. Let me say it like this. If there are 1 billion people out of the 9 billion people on this planet, there are 1 billion of us that are really woke, you know, awakened. I don't want to say woke, people use that as a bad word nowadays, but just alert and attuned to the wrongness of the world and would like to fix it. We have so much more power than anything else in all of human history, because 1 billion people, just imagine $1 a month from half or a quarter of those people, and a lot of them clicking on petitions and, you know, sharing information with other people and focusing on solving a problem. I mentioned the Amazon. And again, there's so many problems. We can talk about the war. Any of these major issues of the world really do have solutions. To take the Amazon rainforest, I don't know if people know, it's not even in the news. You see tiny clips about this. First of all, the Amazon rainforest is the lungs of the world. That means it produces, through the process of its ecosystem with the ocean, most of the oxygen that you breathe. And right now, it is being burned down and cut down to create farms so people can have more cows so they can ship the meat off to places like China and other places in the world. Now, and this is happening as we speak to the point where it is devastating to humanity, and we're going to lose not only the scientific research that's all in there, we have a lot of solutions we're going to miss out on, but also the future of the planet ecosphere. You know, so we as a human race, if we want to fix this, imagine 1 billion people donating money, making a deal, focusing this issue, stars, all sorts of people going down and making a deal with the Brazilian government, the farmers down there, get the super rich people involved. You, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, all the rest of the super rich people in the world that are trying to do good, get all you to focus on this one issue, and all of us, a billion people, you can see it, right? We can make a deal, and we could save this precious world ecosystem. And the same thing with the Congo Basin. And we can do this with other issues that we're facing. The problem that we have is that we're being divided by people that do not have a solution on the way to be the best person they can be and to integrate into society in a positive way. And that's what I'm here for, is because I did find those ways so our leaders don't become corrupted, so we all know what we're supposed to be doing and how to get there. That's like the whole book starts with this idea of difference between success and true success, the true goal of life and the meaning of life, because they're all wrapped up together. Anyway, I know I just went on there for a while. Does it all make sense, though, man? You know what I'm talking about, Luke?
Absolutely, and I can totally feel your passion, and it's amazing. And I noticed that obviously from what I've learned from you, you've had all these experiences, but you've also studied a lot. You've also traveled a lot. You've studied Eastern philosophy, which not a lot of people know a lot about, right? Particularly in the West. And you talk about these issues that are not well known, that are very important, that people should know about and should be well known. But I guess it all started off when you were young. Your parents set a good example. They were involved in a movement much greater, in something much bigger than themselves, right? The civil rights movement. And as someone who is a person of color, who is Black American, I've been very appreciative of the work of what your parents did and what that generation of folks made happen. So I'm very thankful to them, of course. And I think they set a good example for you, because you are now going on your own path to make the world and society a better place. And I think that's so amazing. Now, you talked a lot about unity and harmony and how there's power in numbers, so to speak. And I absolutely believe that. And obviously, we're so divided, which is so unfortunate. But if we were united, there would be a synergy in that, right? There would be, we'd have so many different ways to solve things and solve problems. And I'm curious, who benefits from society being divided? How did it get that way? And, how can that be fixed? Because it's a big problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny you mention that, because I did a video a while back. I'm still learning how to do this, so my video skills aren't the best. But the message in there is all about how we're not really divided. I've talked to people on, throughout the entire world and on all political schemes, and we all want the same thing. Right. Everybody wants to be healthy and happy, have great relationships, to feel passionate about something that they love doing, and do that hopefully to support themselves so they don't work a day in their life. They want to have all the pieces that make up this wonderful life. Right. Nobody wants dysfunctional governments, horrible companies, slavery, pollution, you name it. You know what I mean? We all want this positive world. And when you get down to it, it's like, do you want clean water or poisoned water? Do you want a functional school system that helps your child develop not only certain skills to pass a test, but in real life? It's like, you ask these questions, everybody wants the same things. So the truth is, and this has always been it the way that it is, we are not divided. We are being told, and we are being divided. And the problem that we have, the reason this happens, because you asked, is that, and it's mainly men, dudes out there, it's because we as men do not know how to properly be sometimes. And when we get together in certain types of situations, it becomes a dominance game. And when men become ultra dominant, there can be corruption that happens in the way they think. And don't think of corruption like, oh, I'm choosing to be evil. Corruption is you rationalizing something that isn't good as being good. And when you're desperate, or you're in a situation where you do not have a core belief system and a way of being that will show you how to be the best person you can be through these temptations and trying times and everything else, then that's what corruption is. So you become corrupted. And the world that we have, and it's been standing this way for thousands of years, is that we do not have a world where the leaders – now just think about, like, this is how the book starts. Just, the way it starts asking this question is, what is true success? What is the true goal of life? And I talk about the difference between success and true success. And wealth, power, and fame as being your goal of life is non-attainable. because there's always more fame, more wealth, or more power that is possible. And maybe if you just whatever, and if you rationalize to a certain degree, you can make other people do things and manipulate and control, and it becomes this huge mess like we've seen, right? And you look throughout history, all the kings and queens and captains of industry, no matter how much we say that they've, you know, done amazing things, they've done horrible things, right? It didn't have to be that way. The captains of industry at the beginning in the 20th century didn't have to grind everybody down to the nth degree, right? They could have given them all wonderful lives and still made their hundreds of millions of whatever they made. So it's about men not becoming this ultra-dominant, controlling thing that we become. And you can see this happening in the world right now. It's like the more power people get, the more they want to centralize it and hold on to it. And that's where it becomes less and less power, and they need to grab for more and more and more. And this is what happens to all the kings and queens and everybody else throughout history. And the people that are truly successful in these leadership positions are the ones that do what everybody wants them to do as far as like fix the society and share the power. The more power you share, the more improvements and better that you make society, the happier the people are. The better the people are, then the better the society becomes. And it becomes a cycle of, like you said, synergy and harmony and all these other good words that we all want is what it becomes. You know, leaders of the world that are, and I don't want to name anybody out, but the largest countries in the world, we have more slaves in the world right now than we've ever had in human history, literally under slavery. And we have more people under the thrall of dictatorships and control and manipulation and propaganda. And it's, you know, they're trying to do it everywhere here in the United States, any free country, because they want you divided because they gain more power and wealth by you being afraid and against them, us versus them, us versus them. They want you screaming and yelling. I don't want you screaming and yelling. I want you at peace in your house, hanging out with your kid, understanding the world is a good place to live in, and good people are of merit are taking care of it. That's what we all want. So what I'm saying to you is, if you're listening to me, I know we'll go on for a while, but the point here is we as a human race, as one people, there's no separate races, right? I don't care what color you are. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever heard as far as dividing people, right? It's like people literally lay out in the sun to get tans, but if you're too tan, it's like, what? Give me a break. This has nothing to do with race. It has to do with right and wrong and good and bad, prejudice, discrimination, hatred, violence. All of these things are negative things, right? I'm sorry, I know I just went on for a while. Let me just say this one last thing. When I say this, this is really true, and this is when I'm speaking against the grain. But if you're hearing this and you're saying, yeah, of course what he's saying is true. We all want the same thing. We're all human. We're all this. We're all this. This is universal truth, and don't take it as being light, because this is the future. If we do not all embrace these foundational universal truths and bound together in this massive human race movement to fix this world, we will never win. The meek will never inherit the earth, because the powerful and the corrupt will destroy it all for us. It only takes a few of them. It doesn't take many, right? That's why the many of us can overpower the few and help them become better people, help them see the light, not destroy them, right? Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it totally makes sense. You know, it's interesting. You talk about women versus men, and I totally agree with you. I've been saying this for the longest time, and I think the stats back this up and the research that women enjoy a moral superiority over men. Women tend to be less greedy, less selfish, less self-centered, less corrupt, more so than men. And you
they
know,
also make us better. I just want to say that. Also, the studies show that in conversations, if a woman – especially seen as an equal, is in the room with you, it changes the level of a male on male, us versus them, put you under my thumb, confrontational stuff, because it just psychologically changes the whole tone of our minds. So it's very important for women to speak their mind and be there. And you mentioned my parents. My mother, Italians, you know, speak their mind. And if my sister the same way, and you as a man, not getting called out by a woman of that type of level, I think is you're missing something, because you really need it. You know what I mean? We need, just as everybody needs some type of containment. We can't just, that's how people become corrupt, because they're around toadies and sycophants and everybody else that just accepts everything that they are instead of saying, hey, man, you know what? I think you're stepping over the line right now. You know, we got to call each other out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love strong women, assertive women who do that. And it's so important for women to learn how to speak for themselves and to speak up and not be quiet, not be meek, of course. And, you know, their perspective is so important. You know, women hold up half the sky, and that's so important. And women know how to make men kind of, you know, understand and realize, you know, the truth. You know, I always tell people the story of Iceland. I'm not too sure if you're familiar with this. The women in Iceland went on strike so they can get women's rights. And they just stopped doing what we normally associate with women doing, you know, cooking, cleaning. And then when women stop, everything stops. And, you know, and that's when women kind of in the country just bounded together. They united and they realized how much power they had. And Iceland is a much better country for it.
Absolutely. I have had this recurring dream where the women of the world, like you said, that not only do they revolt, but they join this movement. And it's like the women and the men together, we as this mass, are the superhero we all want. Because it's this yin-yang. It's this positive, you know, what am I saying? Like the male is... You know, the volcano, the fervor, the fire, and the woman's like the flower growing and nature and water. You know what I mean? And these all of this goes together and creates a harmony that if you've ever been in one of those wonderful, positive, mutually beneficial male-female relationships, you know what I mean? Because it's rewarding on a level that you can only, you know, dream of or think about. You can never describe it to somebody unless you've been through it, right? And if you lose that, it's even, you know, it becomes crushing. But, you know, what I always wish, like you mentioned Eastern philosophy, Western philosophy, what I wish is Freud and Jung and these guys, and Jung a little bit did, but went to the East and talked to and became kind of Zen masters of the mind as well as did what they did, especially Freud, because I think he really messed up the whole Western mind a bit in the way that we think about ourselves and that we're not one person. We have all these competing selves and shadow selves and ego and all of this to deal with. And it's crazy. And, you know, it's like, if you take all of that, the whole point here is for you to become the best person you can be mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, in your family, in your relationships, you know, in society and all the other areas of your life, financially and everything else. You seriously need a lot of information in all these different areas, but you just need really the foundations and keys and so that you can make it all work to a certain level. You ever seen those guys, Luke, that have plates balanced on sticks and they're running around spinning those sticks around to keep all the plates balanced? And that's what life is like, really. I mean, you're really as strong as your weakest link. And if you're one of those guys and out there, oh, I'll take care of my wife after a few years of just my company going or my health or whatever it is you're sacrificing and doing, you're not going to make it. It's going to, that thing is going to break and it's going to ruin you, right? So if you don't keep your health and your relationships and all of these different areas of life going and you're giving it up to do something else that you think that's going to make you happy or better, I'm telling you that's one of the main coachings I do is to help people balance out all these different areas of their life. And it's really, you know, when I deal with men, especially like athletes or C-level execs, you know, these high-level guys, I can't tell you how clueless we are, man. It's literally just opening up the doors of the mind and understanding what you're doing, what your actions are saying or not saying to the person that you love. And that you just really seriously do not understand because women's and I use women, men, women. It's yin yang, whatever you want to think about. I know there's a lot of different alternative relationships. It's really this masculine, feminine type of personality traits. We need certain things from each other if it's going to work right. And if men just knew what those things were, because you're clueless, you know, weren't taught these things, if you knew it and you really care, because this is the thing I always tell the guy, if I talk to a guy that really does care, love his wife, he just has no clue. And you show him those things, they don't do those things out of a checklist, right? Like, oh, I'm working. They're doing it because they realize they love their wife. And this is how they express it to where she will understand. Right. Mm. And you know, once you show them these things, it's amazing the transformations that happen in people's lives. So that's why I'm out here trying to explain all these things, because it's just sometimes it's so obvious that it's just what you don't know always hurts you the most, right?
Absolutely. And I think when you describe it as yin and yang, I think that it hit home with me, because, you know, women are often described as the better half. And I truly believe that. Absolutely.
Dude, where would we be? Where would this planet be if it were just men? We'd all be dead. I mean, seriously, we'd be like two guys fighting to the death right now.
Absolutely. And there is this kind of greed competition factor, race to the bottom, not to the top, you know, where too much is never enough, particularly with guys. And you know, that's absolutely true. And so it's so important for coaches and trainers like yourself to teach people the way, so to speak. And I love that, the title, the way.
It's a human way that we become the best people we can be. I mean, that's why it's named that. And I went through different types of titles, but, you know, it's also the 7 revolutionary steps, because I literally, I talk about how we can peacefully force positive changes in the world. I literally outline the steps in the book, but also they came from discussion with a bunch of publishers. When I shopped my book around, went to agents, and this one guy's like, "Hey, I know you've been shopping your book around." Like, I talked to a bunch of other publishers about it, and I'm like, I'm sitting there going, "Oh my God, you know, what is he going to say right now?" Because I haven't really heard back. I like, you know, hit up 7, 10, whatever people at the same time. And he goes, "Well, I want to say a few things." He goes, "One, we've never seen a book like this. 2, when I say that, it's like, most people write books that are self-help or success, and they're just regurgitations of Covey or Robbins or Hill or somebody like that, and they put it together in a different way. But this is completely new. It's a new philosophy. It's a new way of viewing it." And one guy said it was like, he's like, "You wrapped it all up, all of that up, and simplified it to the point where now you don't have to read 1,000 books. You can just read one book and get all that knowledge and build it into you." And I was like, I'm sitting and listening to this going, "My God, really?" I'm like, because you got to realize that I'm a dyslexic guy. I've never written a book before in my life. Just writing anything is a nightmare. It took 30 years to get this in there, and I'm sharing this for the first time to total pros, right? So the next thing he says is, because it's also not even written like anybody else writes. Because your style, the words you use, and the way you write it in these blocks, and you're not telling endless stories and doing this and that. He goes, it's just, because I don't know if anybody's, because this may be the new way books are written in the future. I don't know, but it's totally different. And everybody has mixed thoughts about it. Some people think it's great because you can digest it in these little blocks, which plays to our short attention spans today. And anyways, he's saying all this stuff, and I'm just kind of in my head laughing a little bit, because I'm just thinking, I just wrote this without any idea of the style, just try to get what I'm trying to express out in words so people can understand them. And it's really like, the way I explain this to people, the way exists, okay? The way, the message of each of these sections is the point. The words I'm using are just my way of trying to express them in English. And when I explain these things in different ways, like the meaning of life, the true goal of life, the 4 keys to achieving the true goal of life, and the 7 steps, and I go through them, and you really understand them. I've had people totally skeptical and look at me and go, "You're crazy," and come back to me 3 months later and go, "You're right. No, I can't argue with anything that you said in here. You're completely right. If we all understood all of these principles, we would all be better people, and the world would be a much better place." And again, what I'm saying is, this is like something that exists. And what I did is I pulled out all of these golden threads from all of these different areas of life, and I wove them together in a way that apparently is making sense to everybody. Thank God. So I didn't waste my whole life doing this. And now I'm trying to explain it to people in ways that, you know, beyond just a book, and starting organizations, and, you know, to make these peaceful, positive changes in the world that we all want. You know what I'm saying? Does that all make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. That's amazing. And I think you truly are an inspiration, to go from someone who had dyslexia and other learning disabilities and to make it with a book, and to, you know, to impress publishers so much to the point where they're like, you know, it's a no-brainer. They're going to go with it. And it truly shows that this country, you know, is the land of opportunity. That, you know, from someone of your background, you know, you didn't come from immense wealth, and you were someone who had disabilities, but was able to do this, get this book out there with, you know, through hard work, dedication, 30 years. And I think you know a lot about the human experience. You know a lot about how people learn, the short attention spans. You teach people in the book. You give people little short nuggets, right? And that's how people sort of learn. And it's interesting how you just told me that people who are skeptical, and we know there's so many people skeptical about personal development literature, and so they read it and they come back and they're like, wow, this guy knows a thing or two. And I think that's, you know, so impressive because you have that life experiences, you have that education, so to speak. And so I think,
well,
I think it also speaks to
I'm sorry to interrupt you there. I just want to say, I think it speaks to a deeper truth. I am not doing this out of like, I'm one of many, and I'm not saying this to myself, like I'm trying to pump myself up. I'm saying this to you, humanity. The only reason I'm here, if you knew my whole life, from the dog attacks, the car accidents, all these things that happened to me since I was a kid, this has nothing to do with me. This has to do with me learning these lessons so I can share this with you. This isn't like anything else that has ever happened. And if we as a human race are truly going to make this big change that needs to happen, we have to have some core understandings that get us on the same page in regards to the foundations of life so that we can stand there together, take some steps, and make these changes within ourselves as well as within our society. This is truly, I've studied enough human history, this is the only way it can happen. We get the knowledge and we take action. We need the right knowledge to take the right actions. You don't need to know everything. You just need to know something in a lot of different areas so it adds up to this greater truth. You know, the way is much greater than the sum of its parts. It is a solution that all of us can embrace because it's customizable to fit everybody's life. It's about you living this, best practices and virtues into your life so that they become the habits of who you are. And if you are these best practices and virtues, then you are becoming and are a better and better person every single day. It's like a formula. If you add things into your life in the right way, at the right times, in the right amounts, it'll make you a better and better person, period. It's just period the way it works. And the same thing with our society. If we keep improving it, you know, step by step, it will get better and better. We just need to know what to do and have a total plan on how to do it. And we'll say, oh, the society, it's so complex. Look, it's a bunch of systems, water systems, entertainment systems, this system, that system. There are best practices on how to do every single job in every single system. And we just put it together and keep refining it and make it better and better. And we can fix everything. I know I just went on there. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It totally makes sense. And just so you know, I love that you're offering something new and different in the personal development field, because you said it yourself that, you know, a lot of things are just regurgitated stuff from the past, you know, like Dale Carnegie, Covey and whatnot, and, you know, Think and Grow Rich. But you're coming up with something new, something that's
somewhat. Yeah, someone called
somewhat...
the new Think and Grow Rich. Sorry.
Amazing.
I think a publisher or a PR guy said that. He goes, this is the new Think and Grow Rich. Sorry to interrupt you there.
No worries. The interruptions are fine. I'm curious, can you go over some of the material that's totally new that maybe some people haven't heard before, like the seven steps or whatnot that tends to blow people's minds?
Sure. Let's see. How much time we got? I just want to know our time frame here. We still have a bit of time left?
I could do so many things.
I'm like, should I do the meaning of life? Do you guys want to do a brief? I have a longer version I'm doing in a, just so you know, the whole plan is here to do a whole bunch of free stuff on videos and audio and everything else. It's obviously super time consuming and a lot of work to do it all, but I'm putting together a free life essentials masterclass, and we're going to go over the meaning of life, the true goal of life, how to achieve the true goal of life, and the seven steps to get there, to just give you an overview of all this base knowledge that you need to know. And I can do some of that here if you'd like. I'm not sure how deep you want to go into one topic on your show. It does take a little bit. I can do a really quick version. I'm trying this quick version on the meaning of life, and we can try that out to see if you get it. If you get it, if you don't, I can go a little deeper.
It could be we can go to 1.5 hours or maybe up to 2 hours if you have the time. That's fine.
Okay, good. Okay. Well, I'll try a little shorter version of the meaning of life. It's one of those topics like everybody asks, like, what is the meaning of life? And sometimes that can get a little, you know, like, you know, I'm not even sure what that means. But you ever seen the Child's Game of Life, the board game?
Absolutely. I played it all the time with my sisters growing up.
Okay. So, you know, that game, it comes in a box and it has directions, and you play on a board. You move your piece along this board, and along the way you make choices, and some things of chance happen to you that determine your fate, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the real, our real life is like that, right? It comes in a package, this, you know, this box we live in, the universe. And within this great game that we're playing, the rules of life we call the human conditions. Now, there are conditions that we call universal conditions that are like space, time, and gravity, day and night, entropy, all these really big things that control everything. And then there are these human-centric conditions. They're being born ignorant and helpless, and takes so long for us to learn, and that we need all this different types of fuels and water and food and sleep, and it takes so long to raise our kids, and then we, you know, or that we die, and all the rest of those human-centric things. And if we break these down, we see that these shared human conditions really focus life in three areas, which is self-creation, which is creating yourself into somebody, self-control, controlling this development, and societal development, meaning you're not an island unto yourself, right? You live in a society, and hopefully the better the society is, the more helpful it is, the more conducive it is to your development, the better and easier it is for you to become the best person you can be. So if it's true that you literally have to create yourself from, you know, a little baby to an adult, you need to control this, and you need to do it within society, then the meaning of life becomes, you need to find meaning in your life. Or to say it another way, you need to create a meaningful life. You need to make your life meaningful. You literally have to do it. And the question then becomes like, what is the goal then? How do we literally do this? What goals do we need to have to then make this sum total of this meaningful, wonderful life that we all want? And that's what the next part of this whole masterclass goes into, is like, what is the true goal of life? And then we get into this idea of discussing what is the difference between success and true success. And the difference is, really, we talk about wealth, power, and fame. And we get into what that means versus what we all really want. We kind of mentioned this. It's like what a loving mother wants for her child, or a parent wants for their child. It's to be healthy and happy, have all these great relationships, live in a wonderful society, a thriving world, and, you know, have this wonderful life that we all want. And if it involves being powerful or wealthy or famous, that's fine. But along the way, you don't get corrupted and, you know, mean and hurtful, and have all those rest of the horrors happen to you. Does that all make sense? Hopefully that you understood the meaning of life there.
Absolutely. It totally makes sense. And I loved how you went over this, you know, self-creation, self-control, then society, you know, and it goes back to what I usually tell people all the time, is that the number one key to success, and I guess to living a meaningful life, is other people, you know, other people helping you, other people guiding you, having a team. And of course, and I'm sure, obviously, you understand this, you're a coach and you help guide other people.
That's
I love
actually
coaches.
Step six of the book. So step six,
really?
Is all about uniting, and it's how you, as a person, put your best foot forward in the world, become a good friend, become a good person to other people. And, you know, in that relationship, like you said, if you do not have, and most of us don't, like, you see the dysfunction in the world. We all clearly see it, right? So a lot of the dysfunction comes because we're dysfunctional people, and then we're in relationships with people that makes those relationships dysfunctional, and it creates a lot of stress and problems and all the rest of it. And again, if we all just knew the best practices and ways to be ourselves a good person, but also the way to be in a relationship the best way, we can fix most of these problems in the world, honestly.
Right.
Let me just say this to follow up on that, because a lot of times when I did coaching in the beginning, it was really just business coaching, you know, SEO. I started off with internet marketing, and then grew on to online marketing and, you know, general business consulting, because I had so many different experiences building companies as a recruiter and as a CEO and everything else. And most of my work always just came from referrals. And usually when I talk with the CEOs or some you know, super athlete or whatever it is, it's sometimes, don't get me wrong, it is, there's issues, there's bottlenecks and issues with what they're actually doing, they're focused on and their main job and all of that, but it's all of these side issues that they tend to neglect that is the real problem. And this is true with athletes a lot of the time, because you got to have your head in the game, but your head can't be in the game if your wife is all pissed at you and you love your wife and you know what I mean? It's not possible. It's going to affect you in a negative way, regardless of how much you want to put it to the side. And that's the same thing if you're a CEO or whatever, same thing with your kid or whatever, your heart, your health, your finances. I mean, if you don't have these things in order, it affects all the other areas of your life. So that's why I'm talking about, I'm the balance master. Right? I'm the guy that you call to make sure that, A, you're not missing something you're not sure about. That's what's good about having a coach and somebody, because they can often see things you can't see. We also have an experience to show you things that you don't even know about. And like I said, what I found is, while, yeah, I'm there to fix your internet and hire people to, you know, manage your online marketing campaigns and things, I ended up speaking so much about their relationship with their wife and how to connect with her throughout the day and what these actions say and do not say, you know, that you're doing or not doing. And that became part of the answer to, you know, this bigger coaching program. And just so you know there, I'm not a one-on-one coach for a lot of people. I just do this very selectively. But I am doing... I'm creating mass coaching programs, like training programs that people can go through and get all this knowledge and interact with other people in these groups, the one tribe, the one party, the one movement. And we can then do this on a bigger scale. I only have so much time and I'm already way, way, way overloaded. So I need all the help I can get.
Wonderful. And I'm glad that you're doing it in a way where you're having the biggest effect possible, where, you know, more so than if you were doing one-on-one, you're sharing your knowledge with as many people as possible through the book and through other means and whatnot. I'm curious, can you tell us, I know you've lived a very multifaceted, varied, interesting life, exciting life. Can you tell us some of the most fun or entertaining stories from your life or career, particularly as a coach and helping people, or it could be anything else?
Gosh, a lot of my lessons really kind of came out of traumatic experiences more than anything. Seems like I'm one of those guys that needed to be burned to learn or broken so I can stop and focus, be from dog bites or fights or just being shunned as a child. You're wearing a patch over one eye and you can't see and you have dyslexia and other learning disabilities. You're bullied all the time and called stupid and just thrown in trash cans or drown or whatever it may be. It created a lot of trauma in my life. And as I, you know, grew up, I should mention this. I'm part of this group right now. We're doing a whole seminar at the end of the month, 72 hours, Global Grief Count, a conference. And it's about I'm doing a section 2 hours on how to overcome negative thinking, depression, grief, addiction, and suicide. And we have a panel that's going to be talking about the solutions we're offering. And I'm just saying that now because I don't want to forget it. But it goes along with my childhood. So when I grew up, you know, you hide really well. You learn how to hide it, but most people didn't know. But you know, when you have these suicidal thoughts and you constantly thinking or being told you're stupid, it leads you down a pretty dark road. And if I didn't figure out how to overcome that first, I would never have made it. And I just want to say I've been very spiritual my whole life, very close to God, not of any one religion per se, but the God that all the religions are talking about. And I think this quest started back then because I had this, I don't know, as a kid, you know, whether it was a dream, a vision and whatever, I don't know, but I used to have this awakening dream where I would, go have this conversation with God in this garden. And one of the questions I always asked him was why all this horrible stuff is happening. And
Hey, folks, there was a little bit of a break that we had there, but we have Andrew back for him to continue his point. So, Andrew, if you can continue.
Sure, absolutely. Sorry about that, everybody. I just dropped off there. Okay, so I think he said I was talking about God and my childhood experiences. So basically, when I was a kid, like I said, I used to have these you know, awakening dreams, visions, whatever you want to call them. And I used to literally like go in into God's garden and have a conversation with him. And I was influenced, obviously, by my upbringing, Judeo-Christianity. But this was the, or is, the God of all of us and what those religions are talking about. And I'm sitting there in this beautiful garden. I'm having this conversation, and I keep asking, like, why is all this bad stuff happen? Why are you doing all this to us? And God says to me, I'm not doing this to you. Most of what is happening is being done by other people. Most of the evils and the you know, trials and tribulations we go through in the world is because we as people are doing this to one another. And the whole rest of the setup is because we as human beings need a catalyst, need to be burned to learn and shaken to awaken and have a certain focus. And we talked about the human conditions under which we live, self-creation, self-development, societal development, these kind of ideas. You know, this whole idea is central to us being human. We're not puppets, right? God didn't make us in the image of God and the children of God to just be this, you know, puppet thing. We have to make choices. And this world is a big, what I want to say, like, challenge. It's a big way to bring up a spirit from nothing into something to make them make choices. Do you want to be good? Do you want to be evil? Do you want to make the right choice or not? You know, I mean, this is the kind of the crux of the whole idea of society. And when I was talking about this, it's like, if you look at the society and the way it's made and the people that are the leaders, there's two different types of leaders we end up with. There are people that are pretty grounded. They're really looking for the solutions. They're usually people of merit, and they're really trying to do a good job and figure it out, right? They may not always know, but they're literally trying to do it. And then we have this other type of leader where mostly men that we're trying to control everything. We got to put people under our thumb. We got to make grind every last bit of work and value out of everybody else and take it for ourselves. And it's this type of leader that often gains ultimate power in countries and of, you know, businesses, and surrounded by sycophants and toadies and whatnot, and they don't ever hear that what they're doing isn't good, and they don't have a core belief system and a way for them to know what they're doing is right or wrong. And what happens is, again, most people in the world that do evil never think they're doing evil, right? The worst people in history, if you listen to their rhetoric and their speeches, they're always the saviors of humanity, saving their country, saving their people from this other evil entity, right? And that's a divisionary tactic, us versus them. They may literally believe it, but most of the time they know it's not true. They're just doing it because if they divide us into us versus them, they gain a lot of power, wealth, and fame and get people to do what they want. And just to speak to all the leaders of the world, just to be very clear on this idea of corruption, most people that are corrupt don't think they're corrupt. Okay? They believe they've rationalized it to what they're doing is okay and it's good. It's okay that I take this money because they deserve to lose less because they're an evil whoever or whatever. You know what I mean? It's this rationalization of self and what you're doing to other people because you're superior and you deserve it, that this sickness of superior, this idea of false pride, has infected all of humanity throughout time. And it's, how do we guard ourselves against this, right? How do we stop this from happening to us over and over and over again? If absolute power corrupts absolutely, then how do we not be corrupted? And that is how the way can help you, because literally there's a core belief system outlay in there that will allow you to walk that line and never have to doubt which is the right way to be. So, you know, like I said, it's, for me, I believe that everybody has this best self in them. And it's up to us as caregivers and a society and parents and everybody else to create a world in which we bring that out in kids. You know, I was told I was too stupid to learn and I should just drop out of elementary school. Ridiculed in front of the class, you know, repeatedly by this teacher. I just want you to know, people that are often labeled as learning disabled. I went to a learning disabled group, pulled out of class. Hey, Andrew, it's time to go to the learning disabled group because you're so stupid. You know, that does nothing good for anybody's self-esteem and, you know, makes kids laugh at you and differentiate you and all the rest of it. But the truth is, a lot of these kids that have these issues, we have great gifts. some of the greatest thinkers in the entire history of the world have some type of learning disability. It's really a learning difference. Edison, I can't remember people's names really well, but there's so many. Even right now, the guy that's doing the space stuff, I can't remember his name. But anyways, the point is that these gifts are what allow me like to see things. I'm like this, I don't know, some people say like I'm a genius in abstract thinking, a polymath or whatever. I can see all this huge amount of data and pull the strings out and go, here's the four errors in all of this data that you guys missed, and very quickly. And it's, I can't do math or spell or whatever. I can do stuff that other people can't do. And it doesn't make me better or worse. It just makes me me. We're not in this life competing against each other. We're in this life competing with ourselves to be our best. And you can do things I can't do, and she can do things neither of us can do. We add us all together, and we make up a pretty wonderful thing. And that's the only reason I believe I'm here, the only reason this whole setup is being done to us, is so that we can prove ourselves as a people, not only individually, but as collectively, as a species. We need to create a society and world that is wonderful and thriving. And that can only be done if we're united and we have a foundation and all the rest. And again, that's why I believe that I'm even here. Like I said, I have so many close calls. It's a miracle. I'm still whole enough and can even speak to you right now. So does it all make sense, Luke?
Absolutely. It makes total sense. And you mentioned a lot of great stuff. And as you talk, I write, just so you know, I press the mute button, and then I do a lot of writing as you talk, and I'm, you know, jotting stuff down. And you mentioned a lot of great stuff. You talked about burn to learn. I haven't heard that phrase before, but I'm definitely going to take it from you, steal it. And I love that. You know,
I've heard that since I was a kid. It's like, you know, a little kid has got to touch the stove. You know, to know,
right.
Like you tell him it's hot. You know he's going to come with his burned fingers at some point.
Absolutely. and you learn not to touch the stove. And so I think that's great advice, because we all have to learn through making mistakes, through trial and error.
I just want to say this, though, that this what you mentioned right now, and I want to stop you here, because this is why God did it this way. You look at the Garden of Eden, right? People are like, oh, we failed. We did all this stuff. We did all this, you know, this original sin. They got it backwards. The story, if you look at it, is God created the children of God in the image of God as empty knowledge beings, right? Right? They're ignorant. They did not have all the knowledge of God. They're the children of God. So they're being raised in this wonderful place, right? The Garden of Eden. They get to a certain age, just as all children do, and they want to know, right? And they don't want you to know that they know, and they start, and we took the knowledge. We took it, meaning we didn't ask, you know, we questioned whatever we were told, and we said, we're taking it. This is a trait of humanity, right? It doesn't make us evil, but it makes us the children of God, because we can only be the children of God if we have knowledge, right? And if you take the whole human race, look at us. I mean, if you just shatter us all, right, and you look at all the millions and billions of people, there are people that are super into figuring out how many hairs there are on an ant, and another guy's or woman's into digging up the desert and figuring out what happened in past civilizations, and another person's looking at your heart and figuring out how that works. You know what I mean? The duplicity of us is what makes up the whole mind, in a way, of the totality of God, in a way, because we're all into this, figuring out the life, the essence, the everything that is what God made and is. You know what I mean? There's people that are into everything that you can imagine. And that's the beautiful thing about the diversity of humanity. I mean, how boring and stifling would it be if everything was the same everywhere? Why would you even travel? You know what I mean? If everybody just spoke the same, everything looked the same, it wouldn't even matter where you went. The beauty of humanity is that we are different, but that we can share all these similarities, right? Even though we speak different languages, we look different, we're different sexes and whatnot, it doesn't matter, because in the heart of it all, we're all human, right? And we all have these feelings and these desires and these wants and these needs, and you put it all together and it becomes this beautiful thing, kind of a sick thing too. You know, as you look at our society, it's not the best, but it can be turned into a wonderful thing. And you always see this, right? You always see, like, in the worst tragedies, the beauty of humanity shines, right? You always see these stories on the news and the worst things. You talk to these people,
right,
and you get these wonderful things and how wonderful it is. This idea is what we need to just do to our society at all times. Like, we need to fix some major stuff right now. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, all over the world, we can't just let these few companies run rampant and destroy everything, or the people that are lost. You know what I mean? We as the masses, as the good, as the species need to take hold and direct some actions collectively for the greater good. And the biggest problem I see is there's so many good people. There are way more than enough than we need. We're just way divided. I mean, like I said, there's so many environmental groups. My God, name one thing that they have saved that's big. You know what I mean? The world is still dying, and God knows how many billions we've given over the God knows how many 50 years. What have they saved, you know, that we really need? You know what I mean? It's like nothing that I can tell. I mean, a few sources here and there, but it's still collectively going the wrong way. So the same thing with environmental rights. It's, my God, how many people have to stand up and please beg for being treated as equals? You know what I mean? Like literally, we've been doing this since the beginning of time. And Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, was like, hey, you know, treating people as we want to be treated, you know, food supplies, rich versus poor issues, medicine for all. You know what I mean? This kind of stuff. If the church and everybody's working on this all this time, we would have been in such a better place. But again, I guess the reason this is different, people call this the new Think, Grow Rich. One guy said this was the new Bible. I don't want to go there. But the point is, the Bible is not a way of for you to become the best person you can be in all these different areas of life. It's got a lot of great stuff, but it's a history, and it's 2,000 years old. And we're not book of worshipers. We're human beings. There is a living God that we can connect with. That's part of what I talk about in The Way. And again, this isn't about religion, though. I don't want you to know this. And it isn't about – The Way isn't all about spirituality and all that kind of stuff. It's literally practical stuff on what you do in your day with your relationships, how you sleep, how you eat, and all the rest of it. But we need to deal with this whole part of you. So I do deal with that aspect. I'm just not trying to shun people away from this because the message is too important, even for atheists and non-believers. This whole part of our society is so big that you got to understand it all and how it should work so you can also help fix it. So does it all make sense, Luke? You with me?
Absolutely. It makes total sense. And I can tell you're a very learned and knowledgeable individual. And I'm very curious now, can you give us some of your top book recommendations, girl recommendations and whatnot, and authors? I'd love to know who you like and who you've read and to look into that.
Oh, Luke, I have this issue with remembering names and stuff. Just part of my learning disability is being able to pull out a list is tough. So I'm not sure if I can do that. Let me think about this for a second. I've read so many. The thing is, like, when I was going through this research, okay, I've had all these epiphanies, these spiritual moments in my life, and I've been on this mission, and I didn't know I was actually writing a book until, you know, later, like when I was in my teens. But the idea is, like, I had to study all the different genres of knowledge and really understand them to a degree sometimes that I thought I was going to lose my mind because – like God's like, yeah, now you got to understand biology and all of human history and, you know, all of psychology and psychology. And you know what I mean? It's like all the ologies. And I was just losing it because when God speaks, it's like he shows you a solution. But if you don't have the knowledge to fill in those nodes or those gaps or the path, you have to go get the research so you can even understand what you've been shown. And what I was with The Way is so unbelievably simple. Yet it is also super complex in all the details and the different, all the different aspects that you need to integrate. So my dad said this to me when I was young when they found out I was this kind of weird special kid. And he's like, look, there are a lot of geniuses in the world. And most of them spend most of their time trying to figure out how to make money or doing something meaningless. He goes, do something that can solve these problems of the world, you know, and that's what we need to do. And, you know, when I when I looked at this, it just kept, it's like an onion. Like any problem is related to other problems. And unless you solve like the big, like the why you're here, you know, the meaning of life, how to achieve the true goal of life, understanding these big foundations and the moral code that you live by and the, you know, your founding belief system and what that means and how it affects you and what they should be to really guide you in life and all the different pieces that make up your proper day and how to integrate yourself with other people and put your best step forward and help them feel validated and give them what they need to feel like you're in a great friendship and a relationship, as well as then how to fix society and all the different systems and power and wealth and fame and make all government and business and everything else work for us instead of against us. You know, if we put it all together, like I said, it's super complicated. And one of the publishers said to me, he's like, you made this simple. I mean, that's the whole, what do I say? I went 30 years and I literally like felt like I was going to lose my mind at times because there was so much information and I see so many of it at so much or at such a, like at the same time that it becomes so overwhelming. And it's like, how am I possibly going to explain all of this? Because each little node and this whole solution was so massive, I was writing the book and it was made into four pillars of self, society, universe, and God. And each one of those was mammoth. I'm talking, you know, like a million words or more, millions of words, like literally outlining the beginning of time and all the universe and how atoms work and all of that to biology, you name it. It was all in here. And I'm like crying because I'm like, how can I possibly... Yeah, it was like the encyclopedias. Nobody's going to read it. Nobody's even going to get it. And then in 2015, on Good Friday, I was sorting out the beginning and ending of this grand work that I was doing. And I kept finding my references to, this is key to true success. This is key to true success. And I put these in order, sorted them out, and I came up with seven. And when I saw them in that order, it was like, seriously, I don't know if you're having a moment where you just realize something major, but this was like a light bulb went off, a shooting star went off in my brain. I had this huge epiphany, and I just saw how I could fit in, not everything, but the gist of all of these different pieces into these seven steps and explain it to everybody. And I wrote for 3 days straight without much sleep, just outlining everything, pulling all this stuff out of the major work and trying to work it into this book. And then after the next 5 years to really finish The Way, and The Way is broken into three books because one book would be too big. But The Way is like the first book is all seven steps. The second book is the life manual. It goes deep into all the details of these foundations of life. And then the third book is the child and family guide, which really just shows you how to integrate the other stuff and gives you special knowledge that you need to have to really raise, you know, really healthy and positive motivated kids and have a wonderful family. So anyway, that's kind of like the whole idea here is, again, I'm not out here just trying to do something to make money. I could have done so many other things. I have other businesses. I have a startup. I have all these other tech stuff that I could be doing, but this is the most important thing in the world there is. And I feel like I'm behind and I need help. So if you're hearing this and you care, join me on my social media, go to my website. There's ways you can donate. We even just set up a Patreon account, $1 a month. You know, we're trying to make this big movement and it takes resources and people and stuff. So don't be jaded. You know, don't think like this is something like this happened before. It hasn't. And we can talk about the One Movement if you want. I know people like that.
Absolutely. You can go ahead and explain the One Movement. Absolutely. And while you're at it, you can also talk about all the ways people can reach out and connect with you on social media. And thank you.
All right, cool. All right, I'll do that. So I'll end up with the One Movement is a movement that we're trying to join all other good movements and people together in one movement. It doesn't mean that we're going to stop them all. It just means we're going to start to then be able to focus everybody together on some big major issues, right? So like we talked about the rainforest or wars or business fixing businesses and pollution issues, whatever it may be. This is the way we do it, okay, humanity. It's all of us joining together in these big movements and getting the super rich and powerful also to join with us. And then we have an unstoppable force that can really, really seriously make changes. And that's what we're working on right now. It's still in its infancy. So please join us and help start this off. You know what I'm saying? It always starts off with a few people to make things work. You know, as far as how to reach me, the hub for everything is a website that we built. It's obviously always being updated. You can share anything you want on it. The website is 7wayme. That's the number 7, WAY.ME. And it's named that because the way has 7 steps. The seventh foundation is the organization behind everything that's going to be supporting everything, hiring people, doing all the legal stuff. And so 7wayme, go there, get all this good stuff. You can learn about our coaching programs. We got the free Life Essentials Masterclass. It's going to cover the true goal of life, the meaning of life, how to achieve the true goal of life, and outline the 7 steps. There's going to be a lot of other trainings offered as we go forward. You can only do so much at one time. As well as there's videos up there that you can watch on other issues, societal solutions like how to overcome negative thinking, depression, and suicide, as well as how to end corruption, how to fix our justice system, why we're not divided is up there. And again, there's going to be a lot more. I'm working on one on the one race, you know, one human race thing, how to solve that problem, the misunderstanding is in the world. So, again, we're doing a lot of stuff. So go there, check it out. You can see all the ways to connect with me and all the different social media, as well as join in on, you know, the tribe and the one movement and everything else. So please join us, 7wayme. Go there, check it out, and we can unite and really make some good stuff happen.
Thank you so much for that. And I actually had a quick question for you. Have you ever thought about having your own podcast and being a podcaster? I know you would do great. Have you ever considered it?
Yeah, actually, I started the one show last year. I did a couple pilot test episodes in the One Tribe on Facebook, shot it live, had guests on. We talked about major issues of the world. I'm doing a series on, you know, the meaning of life. I did one and, you know, other issues. So still working that out. So I'm going to be doing that. We're definitely going to be doing a show. I'm working with a media company right now. They have a television network and international station. They want me to do a show there. So it's definitely in the works. You know, time becomes the limiting factor, you know, when you're a one-man show without all the resources you need. So if you're listening, you want me to do a show, you want me to get out there and do all this, help me find some good people to help me. And, you know, join us on Patreon and all these other places, and we can, you know, really get some good people on board to help us. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely. And just to give you a tip, if you ever are interested, you can do the Anchor platform, maybe do an audio podcast like I do. It's free. So just something to consider. And
definitely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it costs no money. And so I think you have a great knowledge to share, great wisdom to impart to all of us. So it's just another way to get your voice out there and get your message out there in the way. So I wanted to go ahead and thank you for, you know, you've been a truly wonderful guest, Andrew, and I'm looking forward to having you on again and connecting with you online. I know we're already connected on LinkedIn, I believe, but elsewhere as well. Definitely want to get a copy of the book and read that. I'm going to see if it's on my Scribd account. If it's not, then I'll just buy the digital version. So for everyone else, be sure to pick up a copy of The Way. It is in most stores all over the world. Also, go to 7wayme. That's the number 7 and way, WAY.ME. So that's 7. The number 7, way, WAY.ME, and it's the hub for everything, just like Andrew stated. You can learn more about The Way, find out all the shows Andrew has been on, solution videos, links to his social media, resources that can help you, and so much more. Okay, so again, you want to check out that site. And just so you know, that link will, or that web address will be in the show notes, along with other information, so people can take a look at that. They can see it, they can read it, and of course, and connect with you easily. And so it will be listed there. All right. So, again, Andrew, thank you so much. Do you want to leave us with any last word or final send-off?
Sure, absolutely. So I want to say thank you, Luke, for having me on your show. Awesome opportunity. And everybody for listening. Oh, sorry for the drop-off there. I really don't know what happened. I'm trying to use Skype, so get a microphone instead of my phone on these radio shows. I just want to leave you with this thought. I know I've said a lot on the show, if you listen to it, about us not being divided and unified and making a difference. Just don't let this go, please. You've heard this. You heard it for a reason. You may not ever hear me again, whatever reason. You know what I mean? If you don't take this opportunity to go out and take a look and join this movement and make a difference, you could miss out on something really profound, not only for your own development, but also for the world, because we seriously need you. I can't do this alone. There's too many groups. There's too many of us doing good things separately. We have to unite. So if you could bring your people and your groups that you belong to in this greater group, we can make all the difference in the world. And I can't do it. I can't do it without you. So I'm here. You can reach out to me. I'm available, and I'm really working hard to make all this work. So God bless you all, and thank you for listening, and I wish you all peace and happiness forever.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for that final word and send-off. It was amazing. I want to thank the audience for listening in. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to this incredible guest and his incredible message, and I'm going to be seeing all you guys in the next episode. So everyone, take care and have a wonderful day. Thank you. Hey, guys, before you go, just real quick, if you can just do me a favor, if you can head over to the Apple Podcasts app, and if you're not there already, and if you can leave me a 5-star review, that would be great. If you love the show, if you can just go ahead and do that, and that will help to spread the word about the show, and other people can enjoy the show as much as you do. And so if you can do that, that would mean the world to me. And also, if you want to email me with any feedback or any praise or support, please feel free to go ahead and do that. And you can also email me to request to be put on our email list. We can send you out emails when new episodes come out. So thank you very much for being a fan of the show. Thank you for listening to the show and supporting the show. So if you can do that, go out and give us a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. That would be great. And if you can email us so we can put you on the email list and email us with feedback and praise, that would be amazing. Thank you so much, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Take care. Bye-bye.